Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Injured in a car accident? Visit suedistracteddriver.com.
Without having some serious collateral damage. You got to find ways to win, even if you say, well, we wouldn't play that way again in a million years. That's okay, fine. But for right now, first of all, the kids deserve that. They don't want to go out there and think we're not doing everything we can to try and win the game. So, I'd be remiss if I told you, here's what they do. If they could put this offensive set in and put this, okay, nobody has that. Lieberman doesn't have that. I don't have that. Nobody's got that. You may think you do. Jim Moore, you think you know, but you don't know because you're not at practice every day. You don't see the things. You can't, it's like when you run a great offensive play in a set and you get a guy exactly the wide open shot you want and he can't make it, you still don't score. It's just, no different than if you took the ball and just threw it out of bounds. But, they've got to find something soon. Because the teams they're going to be playing in the ACC are certainly as good as Maryland, many of them. Maryland's good, and Kevin's done a great job. I mean, he's a terrific coach. But they're going to be seeing that night in and night out, and I don't think they want to be down 18 points before the fans get settled in their seats. So that's the thing going forward that we'll see. And I don't know where those answers come, but they certainly could use a win or two against some of the teams that are coming up. We've gone a whole hour here, and we haven't even mentioned what most of you know, that the University of Louisville has a new president, which this is just a bit of a cynical reaction. Nothing about the person in general. I don't know.
Yeah, what do you have against Kim Schatzel?
No, I don't have anything against her personally. I'm just saying that given the reality of this city and its history, the president that comes in here, they would feel better, even though it's ridiculous. It's patently ridiculous. I want you to understand that before you start sending me nasty texts. But I'm being candid. There's a tiny, tiny part of almost everybody who saw that announcement and said, Towson. Do they have sports teams? Does Towson have teams? Because with what's going on and the importance that athletics has in this community and in the university community and the crap ride that it's been for the last 5-6 years, they would have loved to have had a president from, ACC champion, SEC champion, Pac-12 champion, NFL champion. That's what they would have liked. They would have liked perhaps if maybe Bill if Bill Belichick had been named president. Am I wrong? Tell me I'm wrong. I mean, it's a perfect hire. In many ways, you should be proud of the hire because it speaks to the fact that while the fandom can be as fanatic as they want, the university has a higher mission. And the things that she brings, I don't know the woman at all. Welcome, Dr. Schatzel. But the things that she brings to the table are things that ostensibly, higher education, institutions of higher education should be committed to, and especially unique to this situation. She said we always talk about the people tell you, how badly do you want to be here? She's 66 years young, and she said she wants to be here for at least 10 years. Okay, well, I'm gonna hold her to that. That means she's be here at work until she's 76. I mean, that's a commitment. So you want somebody who's going to be a commitment, committed to you? She said, she's done that. And this is the mission. One of the missions for the institution is diversity. And again, that's a very noble and honorable part of the higher education puts the charter, then that's one of the things her legacy at Towson is that. These are things that are ostensibly their graduation rate for various metrics. Not the word I'm looking for. Demographics. The graduation rates for certain demographics were extraordinary over there, and so this makes perfect sense for the things that this school is supposed to be. The reality is that's what it is. I mean, it's Louisville, again, treading on very thin ice here. One of the drawbacks that there was when U of L was considered for the ACC was that they didn't meet the academic, parameters that almost everybody else in the conference did. They had to convince the various vote makers that, hey, we're as serious about academics as the rest of you all. Now, you can laugh and say, who gives a damn? You know, look what they went on in North Carolina. It's all about putting seats in arenas and winning championships. But the fact is, those people do actually pay attention to that kind of crap. I said it deliberately as a wise ass. Not crap. It's very meaningful. But, but that's the point. And so this is not, it's not Princeton. It's not Harvard. It's not Duke. It is what it is. It's a city school, an urban campus that has had a demographic makeup that is ostensibly very different from some of the other schools, and ergo challenges that are different than those schools. And so they're getting somebody that understands those challenges. Towson, the U of L emphasized in the release pretty heavily that Towson's six-year graduation rate of 72% is the second highest in the university system of Maryland. And it's one of the few universities in the nation where black, and how do you say it, as Latinx or Latinx? How are you supposed to say that, Nick? Do you know?
I think Latinx. I'm not sure.
Okay. Okay, where black, Latinx, and Pell-eligible students achieve the same graduation rate as the overall student population. This year, 57% of Towson students identified as underrepresented minorities. That's the reality. I deal with reality. That's the reality of the student body for the University of Louisville. If for some preposterous reason you wished it was made up of the same demographic as Bucknell, that'd be your business, but it's not. So you want a president who can find a way to navigate that institution to success in that landscape. And so that's a good choice, and that's the way it should be. But again, this is not a place that had great... They have good lacrosse. Towson's very good at lacrosse. I do know that. They've had a very powerful Division I lacrosse program for a while. But she has a good sense of humor, which is good. A couple of times she said some funny things. So welcome to the new president. We wish Dr. Schatzel the best of luck, and we'll see how it plays out. And we'll pay some bills right now, and then we'll come back on ESPN 680 105.7.
You're listening to The V Show, broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Bobby V.
I think Nick would agree with this, but I don't know. It's very important that I put it in context also. Oh, Simon's acting like somebody's here. Is our dog walker here, Simon? Go ahead, go down and see Brian. His tail's wagging. That's nice. Louisville dog walkers, can't beat him. Free advertising, because he used to work here. I think it's very important that we put it in the context. I never do it the disrespect of the sponsor itself or the product, because we're obviously very grateful for all our sponsors, and I wouldn't do that. That would be bad business and be just rude, and my mama raised me better. But one of my favorite parts of the show is when the commercials play is making sarcastic comments all throughout.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You just throughout it, I have you in queue, which is radio speak for I can hear you in my headset, but hopefully you're not going over the air.
Yeah.
And one of the things, you're having a back and forth with one of the
people involved in the commercial, even though ostensibly I'm
right.
What are you going to do? Which I'm sorry, I think I walked all over your punchline. What were you going to say?
No, it's just that we're all me, Jack, and Avery. We're just sitting in here talking about promos that need to be done, and what, you know, we're delegating to each other. Like, hey, can you help with this? All right, I got that done and everything like that. And we just hear you muttering to one of the commercials. And then it just ends with, go truck yourself. And Jack and Avery just giggles. And Jack just pauses for a sec, looks at the board and goes, I'm glad your dad's feeling better. And then,
Because it was the Harry's commercial. I'll tell you the last. Because what he says is the guy who started the company, who's doing the ad, and he says, if you've tried Harry's before or something, whatever the line is, he's basically saying thank you, and if you haven't, and then he's doing the earnest pitch about, well, give us a try, and I just filled in, if you haven't, why don't you go blank yourself.
Okay, yeah, we were wondering what that was in reference to. Yeah, I wonder if that's really the guy, because he sounds very earnest.
No, it is. I'm pretty sure it is.
Oh, he sounds he's got a good voice for radio.
What I'd like to ask the guy, though, in all seriousness, is his name is Andy, I think. In fact, it is. Why did he name the company Harry's?
That's a good question.
There's a mystery. There's a mystery.
Maybe they're going for hair. Like,
no, I don't think so.
What sounds like a better shaving name, Harry or Andy? You know, Andy sounds kind of like, you know, clean shaven. But Harry, on the other hand, you could see that man having some stubble.
Sweeney's not clean shaven, is he?
No, but I'm just saying it's a more clean shaven name. Like, all right, I'm going to go. I'll go through names. You tell me if they have facial hair or not. Okay, ready? Okay.
Yep.
All right, Steve. Fuzzy or not?
I don't think Steve has facial hair. No, I say no.
Okay, I need to not use people that work here because you're immediately thinking of those people. All right. Blake.
Blake is definitely clean shaven.
Exactly my point.
How about Mitch?
Mitch, fuzz. A little bit of fuzz.
I'm buying that.
Sherman, fuzz.
Sherman, no.
Sherman's got some fuzz, but maybe like an old school mustache.
How about Rocco?
Rocco, he's Italian. Of course he's hairy. Anything that ends in a vowel. Bruno, Mario, Luigi, everybody. Like, yeah, get those guys a razor ASAP. Tim, clean shaven.
Tim Corey would disagree.
I don't know. Tim, to me, sounds clean shaven. Maybe I'm just going with the old spit bucket, Tim Sullivan. Very clean shaven man. Chad, clean shaven, right?
Yeah, but you're thinking of all, every time you do that, you're thinking of all specific people. Chad is our owner.
Blake wasn't. So. Blake was clean shaven.
But Blake, you picked the most,
Mike,
you know.
Mike. Mike Harry. Mike is fuzzy. Mike shaves.
I don't know about Sean. That.
Sean? Ooh, that one, that is the first 50-50. That guy's a tweener. He could be hairy. He could also be clean shaven.
That's a tough call there. But, I mean, I wasn't so confident about Mike. Mike could be a guy who just wants to finish his job. You know, he's out there climbing poles all day, and he just wants to get home and have himself a beer and sit in front of the television, and he's not a guy that you'd think is his first concern is getting clean shaven in the morning.
Dave.
That could go either way.
Jackson.
Jackson is...
Harry.
Yeah, I don't think so.
He might have a chin strap beard. He could be a little bit of a DB. Nice guy, but, you know, has the appearance of a DB.
Jameson is exactly as he should be. He should have a chin strap.
Yeah, and Jamie does.
Because that's a pretentious
Jamie does
name.
Kind of have a chin strap.
Yeah.
But he rocks it, so...
Yeah. I mean, we gave the kid the name, so...
Kyle, clean shaven, right?
I don't know. This is losing its momentum for me.
You're not playing along that well.
It needs to be instantaneous. It's harder than I thought it was. There are some that gain momentum. Like, for example, one of the ones that I thought was great, I still to this day think is spectacular, is John Madden thought of everybody in the world as by uniform number, which is perfect from the world of football because football more than most sports, you know, has numbers that are associated with positions and position by kind of players and, you know, skill players or big glop guys down in the, and so he would think of people and everybody, men, women, TV stars, comedians, actors, race car drivers, and he would give them numbers in his head. And often when I read his list, I'd say, yeah, you know what? That's really true. Like that guy is like, we have people in our lives that are, you know, that are kind of stars, if you will. And so inevitably he would give them like number 12 because those are the stars basically, you know. And yeah. So
supremely talented, maybe a little bit diva-ish, but yeah. And then more hefty people that are in the trenches.
I'm trying to find what the Madden numbers thing was. And this might be it.
I know what you're talking about, though.
Like, but it's a great. It's in his book. I'm trying to remember which book it's in because I think it's One Size Doesn't Fit All. That's what it was. Yes. God bless the internet. There's a whole chapter devoted to instinctively assigning football uniform numbers to non-football athletes and other celebrities based on their style, presence, and character. And I think it's great. And the guy, and he, and it is, I'm going to read the chapter to you, but just as an example, numbers have always fascinated me, not the numbers of mathematics, but the numbers themselves, the numbers of that football and baseball players wear, and the numbers that famous people, if they wore sports uniforms, would wear. Men and women, to me, for example, here's what they would be wearing. Elizabeth Taylor, 32. That's one of the great. You know, 32 was for years considered like the ultimate number in sports because all the great players, and she was the biggest of big sports stars of movie stars. Katharine Hepburn, 18. Paul Newman, 22. I'm not sure how he got that, but let's see if I can find some others here.
Yeah, I've got a whole list here.
Yeah, number 12. Here are his number 12s in life. Jack Nicklaus would be a 12. Joe Frazier, though, would be 51. A linebacker's number. Dick Butkus's old number.
He has Joe Frazier as what was it?
A 51.
51. He has Muhammad Ali as 32.
Yeah, see? 32. Perfect example. Some numbers are angular. To wear an 8 or 9, you have to be really tall. James Stewart and Pat Summerall are both 88. If you're short, 2 is a good number. Woody Allen would be a 2, a little place kicker. But if you're little and a great athlete, you're a 1 like Willie Shoemaker. That's very good.
Michael Spinks, 99.
He's got the whole list. Yes, I've got the whole thing. Let's see. I'm trying to find. Jane Fonda's a 6. I'll buy that.
George Foreman, 74. I'm just doing boxers.
Marilyn
Sugar
Monroe's,
Ray Leonard, 16.
Marilyn Monroe's a 32. Eddie Murphy's a 12. Willie Nelson's
a 36.
A
32. No, I'm kidding.
Funny. Elvis Presley is a 76. I don't know. Oh, maybe late in his career.
Jimmy the Greek, 95. Bill Parcells, 63.
John F. Kennedy is 26. How'd he come up with that?
Jimmy Carter's an 11.
Nice.
Tom Selleck, 18. I buy that.
Abraham Lincoln, 12.
John Wayne, 72. Vanna White, 11.
Well, you Trumpers will love this. He gave Donald Trump a 32.
There you go. That? David Letterman, 81.
Okay.
Michael Jackson at 12.
Bobby Knight, 83. Pat Riley, 17. Vince Scully, 6.
Bob Hope, 16. Jack Benny, 9.
Okay.
Lauren Bacall, 19.
Very nice.
Johnny Cash, 77. Johnny Carson, 16.
All right. So anyway, so like around our station, let's start the debate going here. Let's see. I would say Diener. Diener's the hard one to start with.
Give him a 30. He's
no 30. Who the hell was 30?
I mean 32. I was going to say in the 30s.
32? You're making him like one of the all-time greats.
Like a running back? I'm thinking of him like a Darren Sproles. No offense. Like, you know, like a
32 is like you save
gadget player.
He gave to Ali. He gave to. I mean, the 32s of the all with Jim Brown. They were the all time greats.
Oh, see, I'm doing
no
it more,
disrespect. To
no,
Drew,
I'm doing
but
it. I'm doing
saying.
It more position wise. I was thinking like running back, but maybe Drew is. See, the problem is I'm thinking of what they would actually be playing. Not yeah, we're talking like personality and where they are.
That's the whole point of it is the whole.
Yeah, no, I know. I did it backwards.
Ambiance of the guys. His whole. What is that term? The remember I'm running through my head so fast. I got to slow down the tape a little bit here. The movie with Tom Cruise where he plays the agent, and that is called Sports Agent. Oh my God!
Yeah, no, I'm doing it too. I'm saying Jerry Bruckheimer, but it's not
Jerry Maguire.
Jerry Maguire. Yeah,
all right, so Jerry Maguire. Okay, and
I changed it. 22. He's 22. I think that's a good one.
Yeah, I'll buy that. Cuba Gooding plays the athlete, and he's referring to my, like, the essence of him. He calls it his, what does he call it? His quan or his, oh, man.
She?
You're just going to let me die out here, aren't you?
Well, because I'm sorry, I can't help you. You've gone into water that I can't paddle out into. So, yeah, you got to.
Did you see Jerry Maguire?
Yes, but I'm not drawing up, you know, I haven't seen it in its entirety.
Well, then
in one sitting. I've seen it like in like three different chunks.
I could swear it's his quan, but I think I'm making it up. Oh, here it is, ladies and gentlemen. There's still a few cells in there fighting for position. You might want to get ready to hit the dump button.
Andre Reed, Chris Carter, I smoke all these fools. Yet they are making the big sweet dollar. They are making the quan.
There it is.
The quan. There we go. Okay.
That's it. Making the quan.
Gotcha.
Oh, my God. This is bad news for the 7 hockey fans here. How about this? Penguins defenseman Chris Letang out indefinitely after suffering a stroke.
Oh, Jesus.
My God. Wow. But I'm medicine today amazes me. This is the exact release, okay? He suffered a stroke, according to general manager Ron Hextall. However, he's not experiencing any lasting effects. It's also not believed to be career-threatening.
Nice.
Guys come back from strokes now where they're going to be smashing into each other at a million miles an hour, and they're going to play. This is the second stroke he's had. Did you know that?
I did not know that. I do
in
know
2014.
That him.
Well, you want to know Wednesday? There you go.
Wow, I do know that. Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby. They've been playing together for like 17 years, so they have like they're like the highest tenured like trio in the NHL, maybe in all of major sports. I could be wrong.
Hey, Nick.
I'm calling Brett McMurphy.
There's no gift that's more beautiful, more versatile, or more meaningful than a beautiful piece of jewelry gifted from the heart. There's no better place to find that meaningful gift than Genesis Diamonds. At Genesis, making memorable moments is what they're all about. This holiday season, Genesis put together the most impressive selection of can't-miss gifts, rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, bands, from $150 to $250,000. And listen, now through December 12th, Genesis is offering 5 years zero-interest financing on any holiday purchase with absolutely nothing down. That's the best way to do it, right? No money down and no interest financing. It's like using somebody else's money to get yourself those special gifts for that special someone that may just be a way for you to stretch your gift-giving dollars. So that beautiful eternity band, just $50 a month. Or that 2-carat pair of diamond stud earrings, just $100 a month. Everything's included in this amazing offer. Even Genesis' huge selection of hand-picked GIA-certified diamonds and luxury pre-owned Rolex watches. Breitling and Omega watches included as well. Your money goes farther at Genesis, especially this Christmas. So make it a Christmas to remember with something special, something timeless, and something meaningful from Genesis Diamonds. Get 5 years zero-interest financing with zero down now through December 12th. I mean, take a look at the calendar, kids. The holidays are right around the proverbial corner. Don't wait. Get out to Genesis and take advantage of this fantastic offer and get that perfect gift for the special someone. Genesis Diamonds is your destination for that home run headliner gift for this holiday season. And if baseball is not your sport, it could be your touchdown gift or your 3-point gift or your game-winning goal gift or any gift that suits your or if you're a boxer, I guess that left hook that knocks your special one to the canvas. that's probably not a good analogy.
No, probably not. There's more romantic that. Settings. I feel like you could have than an actual boxing match. But yeah. I am happy to hear Chris Letang is going to be A-okay. We have Brett McMurphy, by the way,
and he's going to come on and do some bowl projections for us from the Action Network.
We are going to do some bowl projections. Indeed,
very
we
nice.
Are. He's with us now.
Let's welcome him in. Brett, thanks for being with us, and how are things in your life going? Well, not too busy time of year for you, is it?
Wow. Monday was like last year, the past few years, it's the Monday after the conference championship game, where it's just everything goes crazy with coaching hirings and firings. This year that happened on Monday. I guess everything got moved up because of the transfer portal. But, yeah, it's just – it's been nonstop. And, you know, it's better than the alternative, I guess. I'm just – look, I'm just honored to be, you know, on a show with the, you know, TV star that gets honored, you know, on air during a game on ESPN. You know, I'm kind of in – verified air here, so I'm just, I'm just honored to talk to you, Bob. So I'll be,
I'm glad you saw
it on any thicker. So yeah, glad you're doing well, buddy.
I'm bouncing back. I'm fighting COVID right now, but that was nice of. It is amazing if I can take 1 second when you know you worked for ESPN and obviously now with the Action Network. But I mean to take a week of their broadcast, basically, and in addition to continuing, I mean, very busy time, too. I mean, they're doing college football and college basketball and NBA and NHL and everything's going on, and then to try and incorporate in that a way to raise money to fight cancer, I got to tip my hat because everybody does it so gladly. I never hear a host say, oh, I got to do these reads, or a producer say, I got no time to fit this into the game. They all fall over themselves to try and make a difference, and you know, when you're a cancer survivor, as I am, it means the world. So, anyway, I appreciate them doing that. So just thought I would give them a little love. All right, let's talk a little bit about how wobbly are the playoffs. Let's start at the very top. We want to get to the bowl predictions. We want to know where the local teams are projected to go. But I want to know about the playoffs. What impact can the conference championship games have on who's going to be in the playoffs? How shaky is anybody? What are we looking at in that landscape?
You know, Bob, if it was up to me, that it doesn't matter. I'd put the same four in the playoff no matter what happens this week. Now, if somebody gets, you know, trucked by 4 touchdowns or 5 touchdowns, then, you know, maybe we can have that conversation. But what exactly, why would you put Ohio State over one of those teams that loses? Because Ohio State didn't win its division. It didn't win its conference. And these teams have won their divisions or are playing in their conference title games if they don't have divisions. And what if we didn't have conference championship games? Would we be having this conversation? No. We'd be set on these 4 teams. I think that the only one that's really wobbly, if you will, is USC. But when you look at USC, yeah, I know their defense is horrific, and I want to apologize to the word horrific for that comparison. But they still have basically managed to win all these games. They've got the Heisman Trophy winner, and their only loss was 1 point on the road at Utah in a last-second 2-point conversion. And you want to compare resumes with USC and Ohio State. USC, if they lose to Utah, 3-2 against current top 25 teams, both losses to Utah. And Ohio State's 2-1. So they have more wins. And, oh, by the way, Ohio State in their biggest game of the year at home, that was last week, they lose by 3 touchdowns to Michigan. This wasn't Oregon losing in the first week of the season. Right. This was last week, not 6 weeks ago, not 6 months ago. I think you know how I feel. I don't think they matter. I think the 4 teams get in. Maybe they shuffle the seedings, whatever, if somebody loses. I don't see how you drop somebody by losing in a game when the teams behind them didn't win anything more. Now, if you had a conference champion sitting at 5 or 6, then maybe we can talk about them jumping a team that didn't win a conference. But look, if they all don't win conferences, why are they suddenly better now because they lost an extra game?
I couldn't agree with you more on what you said, absolutely. But I think the problem is, and I think it's just an observation. It's not necessarily a, gosh, we should do something about it. But when you have a system where a team could lose and then still the next week be going on, you know, to play for a national championship, it doesn't jibe with any other sport in our country. There's no other sport that does that, where you lose and move on. That's the problem with having these conference championship games and then going on and playing a playoff that is not related to any of these conference championships. That's the – right? Am I wrong, or is that an accurate observation?
Kind of apples to oranges. I would say we do have that system in the NFL. We do have it in the NBA. We do all that. You can lose your last regular season game and still go play in the playoffs. What makes this difference is because it's a, quote, conference championship.
Exactly. That's the whole point.
But basically, it's a regular season game. It's not a bracket into the next round of the playoffs. So I understand your point where it's a conference championship, but ultimately, the only reason these games are being played, if people don't know this yet, is not to determine who the conference champion is. They do that in the regular season. It's because, I know, surprise, suspense here, money. And they make a boatload of money off of these games. That's why the SEC added it. They were the first ones. It just means more, and it means more revenue. And that's why they play these games, and that's why when we go to a 12-team playoff, what's going to happen to the conference championship games? Absolutely nothing. They're too big of moneymakers. So I guess that's kind of why I look at it is, this year specifically, you can't really punish these guys for losing. I understand what you're saying. It's weird to lose, and then you're in the playoffs the next week. But I really have no problem with it.
Well, I do, but that's okay. Because to me, it's just you can't call it. The conference championship. Your championship has to be tied. It's to an entry into something bigger, or it doesn't make any sense. It's just, you know what it comes down to. I thought about this the other day, and it's college basketball takes all of their bowl games and plays them at the beginning of the year. That's what they do. That's the difference. They play all the meaningless bowl games, and that would include the conference championship games to some degree in football, and they play them early. And they play them in these exotic locales, and you go and you play, and they give a trophy to who wins. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't determine whether you're doing anything, but it's nice, and it's a good experience. The fans get to go, and then you get to the meat of the thing, and then when you play games, and it makes logical sense. You have to win, and then you move on, and if you win, you move on. Football does it completely opposite. They play, and then the season ends, and they play a game that they tell you is important, which ultimately is not. That's what bothers me. They're the ones who told us these are important. Hey, these are conference championship games. Wow, what's on the line here? Well, absolutely nothing. That's the part, I guess. But you everything you said is accurate. It's just it goes against my sense of order. I like everything nice and neat and orderly, and this is not so neat. All right. Anyway, let's go on to others. You've done so much work on this, and I want to get to some of it. We talked at one end of the spectrum about teams playing for the national championship. Let's go to the other end. There are, according to what you wrote, there are 79 right now bowl eligible teams, which means we have three more spots to fill. What are we looking at here, and how are we going to fill these last three spots?
Yeah, I'll make it brief. But basically, Buffalo plays Akron Friday. I know everybody will be tuned in for that one. if Buffalo wins, they get their sixth win. They are in. They are team number 80. Okay. If they lose, they're obviously out. So then what happens with the other spots? New Mexico State, if any Jerry Kill fans out there, they are 5-6. They have applied for an NCAA waiver because they had a game canceled because of a tragic death of a San Jose State player. They tried to reschedule the game. They weren't able to, so they appealed to the NCAA to let them be ahead of the 5-7 teams because we will need some 5-1 teams to fill out the bowl. So they're waiting on that waiver. If they get the waiver, they are in, team 80 or 81, depending on what happens with Buffalo. And then after that, the pecking order is Rice, UNLV, and Auburn. So basically from Rice, UNLV, and Auburn, that's the order of the 5-1 teams. If New Mexico State gets a waiver, they jump to the head of that list. If they don't get the waiver, they're not going to a bowl. And Buffalo's in if they win. They lose, they're out. Depending on Buffalo and New Mexico State, that will determine how far down the Rice, UNLV, and Auburn list you go. And I spoke to someone at Auburn today, and they said if they get an invite, they don't even know yet if they're going to accept it. So, stay tuned. Yeah.
Well, they're in the midst of a coaching regime change, so I don't know. The teams like Auburn, I don't have that much interest in because their goal is not to be one of the last teams in a bowl game. But the other, non-major schools, I always feel for those kids. I guess they'd want to go to a bowl game. I don't know. I feel like this.
Yeah. Jerry Kill, 60 years old. I said, how old are you guys? I'm 61. Well, New Mexico State's been to one bowl game since he's been alive. So that's obviously a huge deal.
Wow.
To them. And you're right. Auburn at 5-7. Who wants to see 5-7 Auburn playing a bowl game? Probably Auburn fans don't even want to see that. So, hopefully, all the teams I mentioned are the Group 5 schools, so hopefully all those can get in.
Talking to Brett McMurphy, always a pleasure when he joins us here. Let's get to the locals. Where are they going?
Well, these things seem to be very fluid and change a lot, but I'm fairly confident that Louisville will be going to Fenway. Bring your gloves.
Oh, that's still awesome. Who cares?
To play Cincinnati, an old Big East rivalry there. Kentucky, there it seems the SEC side is a little bit more in flux. I'm right now I'm projecting Kentucky to actually go to the Liberty Bowl, where they would face either Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, or Kansas. That's all dependent on who the Cheez-It Bowl picks second in the Big 12. So they may go with Oklahoma, which would impact the bowls under it. If they go with if they take Texas Tech, bottom line is then Kentucky would probably be playing Kansas or Oklahoma State.
I have COVID right now, so I'm not going very many places at all, but I would dig going to see a football game at Fenway. That's just me because I'm a baseball fan, guy. So I know.
And unfortunately, this game has been canceled the past 2 years because of COVID and opt-outs. So they actually created this bowl 3 years ago. They still haven't played a game yet.
The answer. Maybe that's the thing to do is to just invent these bowl games and never play them. You know, they'd be great. Everybody can get their souvenirs and you get your merchandise and you don't have to go anywhere and you can stay warm. But
will be the answer to the trivia question: who played in the third Fenway Bowl that was actually the first team to ever play in the Fenway?
I will say this. I guess you've been there. If it is Louisville fans, and if you've not been. It could be a great experience. Fenway's in a neighborhood. It's not out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, there's great bars and restaurants and things to do around it. And, you can come out of the stadium and walk. It would be, assuming you don't freeze to death, which is a distinct possibility, it sounds like it'd be a great thing. And I'd like to see Kentucky play Kansas because, to me, Brett, I think Kansas was one of the great stories in this college football season, especially early. So that would be fun.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, Lance Leipold did an incredible job. I mean, if it wasn't for Brian Kelly and, you know, a number of other folks that had great years, I think Lance Leipold would be my coach of the year. But they were only 6-6, but, I mean, you know, they only won six games like their last 10 years combined. So, yeah, Kansas is definitely a good team. And also they'll have a rabid fan base, and that's always cool for the bowl experience when you got fans there that want to be there.
Plus, they can fight about who should be UK and who should be KU and all that stuff.
Hey, but, maybe they can have a little basketball get together before kickoff. Mr. Calipari and Mr. Self, maybe they'll be on board with that.
It'd be great. They'll have the coaching staffs play against each other in a little half court game, and the football coaching staffs. I'd like to see that. That would be interesting. I don't know who I'd bet on there. Who's got the better basketball players on their football staffs? I don't know. We'll have to see. Anyway, we're a little late. You can follow Brett at the Action Network, and he's got the projections up there, and it's just it's fascinating stuff here. There we go. Louisville, actually, according to you, would be a two. Well, you're the Action Network, and not you, but would be a 2-point favorite against Cincinnati in that bowl, which is December 17th in Boston. I hope that's where they go. I'd like to see that. We'll see how it plays out. So.
Yeah, I hope so too. But good talking to you, Bob. Best wishes and get well soon. And holler anytime. And looking forward to it. Should be exciting next 72 hours.
All right, buddy. Thanks. We appreciate it. Brett McMurphy with us here on The V Show on ESPN 680. 105.7. Good to get a chance to talk with him. And I think we're going to have another guest here. We're just rolling him in here like bringing him, backing him in the truck. It's the holidays after all. You know, you got to get the merchandise. Evidently, we're going to avert a rail strike, which would be good, so we'll be able to still move some things around the country. So, I think this is right. I think we have our good friend. Can I introduce our next guest, Nick, or not?
Yes, absolutely. Play some holiday music for him.
The president of the Louisville Bats. Last time we had a chance to visit was after a highly successful a Halloween costume promotion, and boy, that was a fun night. And I know they're involved in the holidays again, so let's bring our good friend Greg Galliette in. Greg, Merry Christmas already. Is it too early to start saying that, or can you say that? Is it okay?
Nah,
is it acceptable?
It's not too early, Bob. Beautiful. Oh, and I hope you start feeling better. I kind of feel for you because I spent my Thanksgiving quarantined as my wife was suffering from COVID. So I kind of have a little bit of a feel for what you're going through, but not to the degree you are. So once again, hope you start feeling better soon, buddy.
Thank you, buddy. It makes me feel better to talk with you. How about that? So there's a good place to start.
Well, I appreciate it. Two Pisons.
What's going on? It's always great to talk to you, but I'll play dumb. Why are you joining us right now?
Well, again, thank you for being part of what was a great Halloween event we had here back in October for all the families and kids, and we want to keep that same theme going. So for the next two Saturday mornings, we're going to have breakfast with Santa here at the ballpark.
Nice.
And we've got actually 8 half-hour sessions beginning at 8:30 in the morning and going all the way to 1 o'clock each of these Saturdays, both this Saturday and also again on December the 10th, where families can come in and enjoy a great breakfast provided by Outback Steakhouse, and then also opportunities for the kids to have their pictures taken with Santa. We'll have cookie decorating going on, ornament decorating, as well as kids can actually write letters to Santa. We even have a mailbox here in our stadium club level that they can put the letters in to go to Santa. We have reading storytelling will be going on for the kids. And so we've got a lot going on. The team store will be open. Great opportunity to do some Christmas shopping.
Nice.
So again, that'll be this Saturday, starting at 8:30 in the morning, going till 1 o'clock, and again on Saturday, December 10th. You do need to buy your tickets in advance. That way we just have a good idea of how many people we're preparing food for. And tickets are $27 per person, includes everything I just mentioned. And also, you just need to go online and sign up and purchase your tickets through the Bats website at BatsBaseball.com, or you can reach out to our ticket office and you can call them at 502-212-2287. And once again, it's 502-212-BATS-2287. So we hope to see a lot of folks out here. We had a great run with this last year when we did this event, and we're really excited to move it to our new stadium club area up on the club level of the ballpark this year, as it was under renovation last year. And I think folks are going to really enjoy the experience up there.
The second annual Breakfast with Santa presented by Outback Steakhouse. You should give your sponsor some love. So I'm just looking out for
you. We are partnering also, Robert, on those 2 days with our friends at Toys for Tots. They're doing Toys for Tots Drive. So we're asking anybody if when they come, if they would bring an unopened, unwrapped toy to donate to the Toys for Tots. We would certainly appreciate it. When they do that, we'll provide them with a free ticket to a Bats 2023 game. And it's hard to believe, but when Christmas is over, Robert, we're only about 6 weeks away from spring training, so it's coming right around the corner.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you'll find this interesting because I know you're a big baseball guy, but yesterday and today we had the folks from Hawkeye in here. It's a technology company for Major League Baseball.
The balls and strikes,
guys. And they were getting us situated and lined up for the automated ball strike system that will be coming into Louisville Slugger Field for the 2023 season.
All right, well, you opened that rabbit hole, so I'm going to jump in. How many cameras? There has to be one from each side, right? You can't just – it's got to determine how deep the ball is as well as the height of the ball. So how is it set up exactly?
Looks like we're going to have up to 6 cameras, maybe even 7. They're trying to debate how many to put out in the outfield. And then we haven't quite determined, and maybe when I go to San Diego this weekend for the winter baseball meetings, we'll hear more about which type of ball strike system we're going to be using, whether it's going to be the challenge system, which Charlotte used last year in their ballpark.
Which is what?
The teams can challenge up to 3 ball strike calls per game. And if you win your challenge, you get to keep those challenges. If you lose a challenge, obviously you get to lose one. And only the catcher can call for the challenge in the challenge system. So, in other words, the managers can't call for it.
Oh, my God, that's a lot of responsibility for that guy. Wow.
It is. And if that system is not used, then we'll go to the other system, which is used out in the Pacific Coast League last year, where it was the true standard automated ball strike system, where basically the umpire at home plate wears an earpiece and basically is calling the balls and strikes as dictated by the Hawkeye system as it sees it come through.
I know you won't weigh in. You can't because of your position.
Well, I was joking with Pat Kelly, our manager, towards the end of the year when we heard this was coming for 23, and I said, Pat, if you're here, what are you going to yell at? I mean, should I put a laptop computer out in the on-deck circle and go out there and stomp on him? I mean, how are you going to take your aggression out on these calls?
That's true. I just visualize Billy Martin or Lou Piniella kind of kicking dirt on this little laptop. You know, he's just kicking.
Exactly.
But that is an interesting point. I'm wondering what the umpires would prefer. Would that guy want to stand there and just be listening for beeps, or would he actually want to call the game but know that then the guy can challenge? I mean, you think about it, Greg. I mean, it's unlikely. But if you don't lose your challenge in the first system, I mean, they could be overruled like 15 times during the course of the game, right? I mean, the catcher
challenges. Yeah, and what happens is the fans in Charlotte were allowed to get involved, and they would put it up on the video board and vote whether it's a ball or strike, and they get the fans all riled up. So, interesting story, though. Last year, we had an umpire crew come in here to do the first game of a homestand, and they had just come in from being in the Pacific Coast League, and the umpire behind the plate that night, the first pitch comes in, and no call. And
he's waiting
the catcher turns around and looks at him, and he goes, "Oh crap! I'm in the International League. I got to call these because he had just got done having the earpiece in his ear over in the other league."
He's waiting for the beep. Reminds me of Leslie Nielsen, and he's just standing there, and everybody's looking at him. Yeah, that's interesting. Do you get a feel from the umpires which they prefer?
I think they would like the true ABS system where it's just called every pitch.
And they're just listening for a little beep in their ear. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like the tennis system they use with the tennis tour.
Yeah.
Where they show it on the out of bounds calls, the line calls. Yeah.
Yep. No, I.
Now, what I hear, Bob, is I hear it basically takes the strike zone and kind of smashes it from more of a vertical aspect and makes it just a little bit more horizontal. So, in other words, the high strikes, you don't seem to get those anymore. And they're really low strikes, but it then allows a little bit more of the black of the plate to be involved as far as a strike goes.
You know, it's funny you say that. The things you remember. I had to be, middle school, maybe, I guess. Tony Kubek, who you remember, former shortstop with the Yankees, used to do the Major League Game of the Week. And there was a lot of debate going on. This is, I guess, late 60s, early 70s, about this very thing. I mean, remember how much you think about it, for a game that was always regarded as so stoic and, you know, unchanging, how much baseball changed then. They lowered the mound, they put in a DH, and one of the things he was talking about was, and they changed the strike zone also. They moved it from, I guess, the shoulders to underneath the armpits or whatever it was. But he said just what you said. He said what they're essentially doing is, I'll never forget this term. He said they're turning the strike zone from a vertical rectangle into a horizontal rectangle. That's what they're doing.
And if that you remember back to that time period, the American League umpires had those humongous chest protector, almost looked like mattresses. They were so big, and it
basically
made them call high strikes because they couldn't squat down far enough, whereas the National League guys had the true traditional chest protector underneath their jacket or their shirt like they currently do. So it'll be interesting to see where this all goes. And it'll be part of a really, I think, an interesting season for not only the Reds, but for us, as we are slated to finally see some of these top prospects, especially the ones that just recently picked up in these trades. And the one everybody's still talking about is Ellie De La Cruz, who now, after this offseason, is a top 10 baseball prospect of all Major League Baseball. And we're just wondering how long we're going to get him, if we even get him. Here in Louisville, so we're keeping our fingers crossed that we'll have an opportunity to at least see him for hopefully at least half our season. Because he's an exciting young ball player our fans are going to fall in love with.
Yeah, I was reading about that. You know, as much as you get snarky and cynical when teams struggle for a long time, that frankly they did some things, or you know, in the latter part of the year, trade deadline stuff, and in this offseason, there's reason if you want to try and find hope that the Reds and the organization in general have some hope that some deals I don't remember, the deals all run together, but one of the deals they made, which was kind of a ho hum at the time, one of the analysts said, "No, you guys overlooked this one. This actually played out well for them. It could lead to real dividends for the Reds down the road." So I don't know. So
and
we'll
you
see,
joked about it, but it looks like the Reds went shopping at Shortstops R Us, where they gathered all these top shortstop prospects
that's
from
true.
All these different organizations. Now they all can't play shortstop, so they're all going to have to probably, a lot of them are going to have to switch positions. But you know, you could work out very well for the Reds because normally in college, high school, your best athletes are your shortstops. So hopefully they're getting, you know, athletic young players that can adapt to a new position and contribute to the Reds.
And then they could write a book about it, like Moneyball. It'll be Shortstops R Us. You're right. Just get the best
shortstops you can
and then move them around and find positions for them. By the way, I assume that I know this, but again, I'm doing the lawyer question. Holidays are here, and you know, you said the store is going to be open, including some season ticket packages for next year? Nice gifts. Can you? I mean, obviously, you guys are doing
sure.
that. Or
we just put on sale our 5-game package, which is basically our 5 biggest Saturday nights, starting with the beginning of the year, taking us through to the 1st of July. Those are selling extremely well. And the thing is really going off the shelves right now as far as stuff in our team store. We actually brought up our game-used Louisville Masher jerseys, which we've never had available for sale to the general public. And they are in the team store, have been for the last couple of days, and we've already sold 18 of them.
Wow.
So if you'd like to get one of those really cool-looking powder blue with red trim Louisville Masher jerseys that we wore for those Masher games, they're currently available in the Bats team store. We're open each day from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. here at Slugger Field, Monday through Friday. So stop on by, do some Christmas shopping, because we've got plenty that I think can fill up everybody's wish list this Christmas.
If they're game used, do you wash them first, or do they have the stank on them still? That's what
we
I
do. But the thing is, some of the nights that we did the and actually, you should be getting a check here shortly from Major League Baseball, Bob, in regards to your night that you did.
Yay.
We brought those straight up from the locker room, and they were not washed. And that box, let me tell you, it smelled interesting with all those jerseys in it. We had to probably move it out of one of our rooms because it made the room smell so bad.
That's what we bring you here on the V-Show. We get behind the scenes. We give you the inside information. That's what we appreciate.
Remember your game that you participated in as far as being the recipient of that was a hot summer night. So got quite sweaty.
Yeah. Well, you knew you got the one thing you'd say, you knew for sure. I don't need any certificate of authenticity. Oh, yeah. I know this was the real deal. Greg, maybe we'll talk again, but one way or another, Merry Christmas to you, the happiest of holidays. I've valued your friendship from the time I got to town, and
same
I continue
here.
To do so. Thanks so much.
Take care of yourself. Hope you feel better.
All right, thanks, buddy. Greg Gallagher with us from the Louisville Bats, and what a great thing, Breakfast with Santa. Check it out, coming up, and it sounds like fun. I wonder if I can take you guys, you and Jamie, for a picture. You get a free photo with Santa, you know.
Well, you know, I'm always down to get photos with Santa. You know, I'm very pro that, and Jamie was against it forever, but he's even come around because we wear ugly Christmas sweaters, but we do have a tradition. We're two for two. We see some sort of crazy holiday violence when we wait in line
at the
Green Tree Mall. We saw a bunch of teenage kids get into a gang fight one year, and then we saw two moms basically threaten to throw hands because they were accusing each other of cutting one another in line. And I was dressed as – I had a very weird Frosty the Snowman hat, and I was trying to play peacemaker between the two of
typical.
Them, and it looked absolutely hilarious. So, but yeah, they wound up both getting kicked out. It was very
that
sad.
Normally would be funnier than it is right now with what's going on in the world. I would normally say I have some snarky comments.
But, no, totally with you. But it's you know what? I might do both because there is part of me that's a little I don't want to tempt fate, and maybe Jamie and I are bringing bad juju into the Green Tree Mall, and that poor Santa Claus is having to deal with
you're bringing bad Quan.
Bad Quan, yeah, there you go. But I still remember we were in the middle of checking out and just heard, man, truck you, mother trucker, and turn around, and these like 7 teenagers were just wailing on one another. They almost fell into the cell phone case kiosk. And we all just watched them. Nobody got hurt too bad. You know, there were a couple connections, but no one got knocked out or anything. And then they just kind of, you know how like cats fight and just gets crazy and then they just immediately disperse?
Yep.
That's kind of how it was. And everyone just paused for a second. And the lady dressed as a Christmas elf checking us out just went, oh, that was weird. And they went right back to
to their business.
So would you like the novelty frame that lights up? And Jamie and I were like, yes, please. That was interesting. So.
Are people buying this? Here's my last top of the hour question, and then we'll move on to other things.
Yes, we got Coach Mark Lieberman in studio with us. So tasty stuff.
Good.
There.
Well, this will be the last of my rabbit hole questions. You can't swing a dead cat without seeing somebody advertising these. A, are you considering buying them? B, have you bought them? C, do you like it if you got it? These are these outdoor pizza ovens. Have you seen these things? Oh my God! They're all over the place.
Janet won't let me get one. I've already.
See, you knew what I was talking about, though, right? Yeah. Why won't she let you get one?
Well, because she's smart. She's crafty. She's She's been wanting to clean
the
backyard.
Make her sound like a point guard. All of a sudden, you turn. She's got eligibility.
She's sneaky athletic. Yeah,
give it to Kenny. She's
real,
smart and
a real gym rat. Yeah, glue guy. No, she wants me to clean the backyard, and so I think her idea is that, you know, well, we don't need anything else in the backyard because we've got stuff we got to get rid of. So if you want to get rid of,
well, I do agree with that. You know, that she should use that as the carrot at the end of the stick. If you clean the yard up and make it nice and neat, then we will put this beautiful outdoor pizza oven in there. That would be. That's how I would do it. In fact, I would do that for myself. I'll get the yard clean, and then my reward will be, because I do. I'm intrigued by these things. They look pretty cool.
They do look pretty cool, but
but what? What's the but?
Is it stereotypical that we want to get them? There, I said it.
What? Because we're Italian, or because we like pizza, or because we talk about food on the show all the time? No. All three.
Yes, just yes. Like, I mean, Chappelle did a bit about Pixies, and it was arguably
Pixies.
Yeah, no. If you know the sketch I'm talking about. Basically, all these people get put into situations that there's a very stereotypical, like, expectation or answer or anything like that, and they feel awkward in them because they don't want to do, quote-unquote, what everyone wants them to
do.
Exactly. So part of me thinks that, you know, us giving each other pizza ovens is just going to make everybody go, oh, yeah, did you give each other accordions, too? And yeah, did you get a stocking full of manicotti? And I just, you know, there's a tiny part of me that's like, I don't want to be.
Give each other accordions. That was the line of the day. I enjoyed that. I can't imagine. Listen.
They do, things, but you know what? They do look really
they're
cool.
They're advertised all over the place. So all due respect, they can't just be paisans that are buying this. But I wonder if anybody has one. If somebody said, yeah, I got one, it sucks. But I can't imagine. It sucks. It looks so cool.
Well, can we get one and then. How much room do you need to cook it? Because there's basically a giant back room that's completely unused here. Can we cook fresh pizza back there?
No, I don't think you can.
Would
use
Drew
them
get
indoors.
Mad at me for that?
Well, I think the fire marshal will get mad at you, I think. As I recall from when we had a restaurant, you got to have all sorts of special ventilation. You can't just pop one of these.
Well, I mean, we might still have the good ventilation over there. No. That was the Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, it used to be
a restaurant. We were a pizza place. This studio was originally a pizza place.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure I'm fairly certain all that equipment is gone. So, I don't think that's going to work, but these things do look awesome. I mean, they don't just make pizza. We need to get one so that, you know, we should be teetering on the edge of peyote. We should be lobbying.
Phil.
We should be lobbying for, I'd like to read about this so that then they say, would you like to try one so you can speak about it? I'd say, well, okay.
All right, we got to take a top of the hour break, but we should do the conference call and just be as stereotypical as possible with the people on the phone. Like, hi, Bob and Nick. Yeah, we're interested. We saw the ratings book for ESPN Louisville. Very good this past, and they would just be like, yeah, so I heard you got a fancy pizza oven that makes the pie really good. And they're just like, do you guys really talk like this? Be like, yeah, what's the matter with it? And just like, oh, just the whole time we just reply in angry vowels. Oh, hey, ooh, and just like, what the? And then they're like, all right, we'll give you $10,000.
That'd be dandy. All right, well, speaking of dollars, we got to raise some dollars, go to the top of the hour break. Coach will join me on the other side, I'm told, and then we'll talk some basketball and other things. Stay with us on this Wednesday edition of the V-Show, ESPN 680, 1057.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? LocallyOwnedDelivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.